If Lands Could Kill, featuring Night City, Wright, Sewing Pro, and Hot Sauce.
Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
Sewing Crow.
Hot Sauce.
Peppermint Swirl.
What?
You're not Reich. Get
special
out
guest.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah, Reich is
getting gangbanged in the Caribbean.
What is he doing? He's like going to the Bahamas?
Yeah, all of a sudden we texted him like, hey, you're coming over, right? It's getting a little late. And he's like, oh, no, I'm packing to go to Cabo.
Oh, Cabo.
Yeah, that's just a thing.
Cabo, Caribbean,
just
whatever.
A thing you do, I guess.
Even though he got like hit on those taxes or whatever, I don't know. Either way, like,
somebody investigate that guy.
He was saying like, oh man, money's not good right now, let's go to Cabo.
I need to get out of the country. Yeah, quick.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, one-way ticket.
I need a cabana boy, man, leave him alone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have any goat you can buy down there for $5?
He said he'd try to make it to a donkey show for us.
Oh yeah, it's perfect. It's a beautiful thing down there.
Well, this is episode 26, and you know what, let's get a little backstory on this whole Peppermint Swirl thing. I mean, you guys have been hearing about him since, like, episode 2, I want to say. We've just been referencing him here and there. So take it away, Pep.
We just came up with this, but I'm administrator of things, buyer of foils.
That
lose value very quickly.
He was the first one to like foil out his standard deck, and none of it retained value. After rotation, just all went down.
Well, no, wait,
the sleeves they're still in are worth money.
What's the white 4-mana thing that you got that like still holds like $5? It's like that rhino.
The monk.
That fucking rhino thing. I don't know.
It doubles your life whenever you gain life. Rocks Faith Mender. Yeah.
Rocks Faith Mender.
Yeah. Funny enough, that's my Reddit handle.
Is it really? Yeah. Oh, man. You just gave it. You're giving away too much information.
I was into it. I don't.
People can find you now. Yeah. God damn it.
So how the hell do we even like know you? How'd you end up at this table?
He gave me a blowjob. Well, that's the first time I met him.
Yeah, he was a cheap buy, though. It started, I guess, with, as you told in the first episode, was Risk Legacy.
Mm, indeed.
It was a quarter of that fare. And after that, just led into the Magic. I was super stoked on the Magic, learned it with these guys, and then...
We actually like had it at his house for most of the time.
Yeah,
that's where we troubleshot all the rules.
Yeah,
like we all figured out like what the stack was and everything.
Risk Legacy was at his house too.
Yep.
I don't think the stack ever even happened then. That was pretty rough, but
we were still just jerking our flaccid 12-year-old penises at that point. We couldn't even get it up.
This happens. I did this, it happens. I'm sorry. Nope, can't do anything.
Yep. And then we found Ask a Judge. That was a game changer.
That is very helpful. Yeah, I like that.
I still use that from time to time. Me and the sauce. Like, what the fuck?
It works on mobile. That's the best part. You sit there with your cell phone anywhere and just use it. Badass. That's not funny, though. Let's get something funny.
I always wanted to be... part of the podcast when you guys are talking about it, so as limited of a scope as I could have with it, I guess I helped with the website, and that's about
it. Yeah, you helped with the website. You're the one who came up with our logo.
Yes, I did. Sucks.
All of our art.
Sucks. All of our art except that sweet skull with
beard.
The beard.
I love that thing, dude.
Did like Sauce draw that up on like Microsoft. MS Art or something?
I actually use
Paint Crayola for kids.
I use Photoshop. I just don't know how to use Photoshop.
You might as well just use Paint.
Yeah.
I spent like 3 hours trying to come up with a better one, and it just sucked.
Yeah, he made like six of them. He's like, these are all the different options, different beards, different like... background, like the color will like fade in and out of like whatever and blah blah blah, and then I'm like, I still just think the shitty one.
The one with the 4-year-old girl using Photoshop made it. That looks the best.
I still love the shitty one. I still have that on our MTG cast.
Kind of your guys' motto though, right? I still like the shitty one.
You have that up when you're streaming on Twitch too, usually.
Yeah, that's our overlay.
Yeah, I like that.
We all got beards.
And we all got beards.
Minus the small Asian man who's not here.
Yeah, except for Reichington.
Yeah.
The beardless.
Right,
beardless.
Sir Reichington the Beardless.
Game of Thrones name.
That is, if he was on a magic card, that would be his name.
He would have died first season.
Everybody dies first season.
The beard is not strong in this one.
So you've been getting back into magic recently?
Yes, a reawakening, if you will.
Your spark ignited again.
Something
stirred. Origins!
Don't worry about it. You don't even know.
So lost.
That's what happens when anyways. So
he makes very horrible magic puns, and you just kind of have to go with it sometimes.
Oh, they're magical, all right. So yeah, what'd you buy recently to get back into it?
I bought the Fate Reforged Clash Pack, the Power and Profit. Really, it was my girlfriend's playing Magic too, and she wanted a new deck. I wanted a new deck, and that's two decks. So I got it in a pack with two decks, and it seemed to work. So she got her pick. I ended up with the black blue.
Well, they're all Sultai colored, both yes, sides.
Right.
Sure. One's like splashing, Sultai. One's splashing green, the other one's like splashing blue or something like that.
Yeah,
like
this one is green. The one Del's splashing.
That's something like, I know one is with Varibos, and then the other one has Del. So one, brings them back, one uses
I thought one was just green black, and the other was straight Sultai. I don't know. Anyways, this is the one with Hero's Downfall in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought the pack. I told her, you know, you get your choice. She, like most girls, just looked at the pictures and the colors and was like, this is the deck to get. So I ended up with the one with Hero's Downfall in it. I haven't played it yet. I just brought it over as is.
We're going to give it a shot bit.
Tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a dry run, see how it plays out of the box. Just
put it in dry, and then after that, we'll fiddle with it a little bit.
And then let the expert novices have a go at
should
it.
Should have told him that. I would have brought an intro pack to play against you with that deck.
We are absolutely expert novices. It is
yeah, we're
so
like
true.
Top-level novices.
Top-level novices.
Yeah. Like, we look down on all the other novices.
Oh, yeah. We're
the Navi.
Almost like ourselves new anymore. I think. I'm like 4 months in.
I think James Cameron in. Might have a problem with that Navi. It might be copyright.
Ooh.
You know, the Navi.
Listen!
That's a shame.
James
movie,
Cameron doesn't do what James Cameron
does. They make it Zelda?
That was just Fern Gully times 1,000, dude.
Pretty much.
Fuck Avatar.
Pretty much. But, you know, they
no
did have...
No fucking storyline. Just, absolutely. Oh, explosions and pretty colors and...
But
it's, just go watch Fern Gully. You'll watch the same fucking
ponytail
movie. It's Fern Gully.
Sex, though.
But it is still, like, a magnificent feat of... All the engineering and all the shit, all the graphical design behind it. But yeah, it is pretty fucking stupid of the movie. But
no, zero fucking plot. It's, oh my god. They just watched Fern Gully and said, oh, let's make this on acid.
It's Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves.
Well, what have you been up to there, Hot Sauce, this week, this past 7 days since we last podcasted?
So the toilet still broken. Not gonna pay.
Still pinching your ass.
Yeah, not gonna pay the $30. So I don't know if you know this. This peppermint swirl. But last week I was wiping my ass, and weight shifted. Weight shifted from right cheek
and
to left cheek.
Apparently, you have a pointy ass.
Yeah, right cheek to left cheek, and my pointy ass with all my weight on it went ahead and cracked my fiberboard toilet. So I need to get a plastic one with some flex. Yeah. Actually, carbon fiber would probably be best.
Dude, if you could foot the bill for that. Fiber. Oh, man. We're making progress, though. At least you're wiping your ass.
Exactly.
He finally cut off the dingleberries.
Dude,
I've been growing there for years.
The wet wipes. I'm learning how to use them.
Oh, yeah.
Good. They're real good.
It's getting all matted and nappy in there.
Yeah, you know, you can do this little jungle
dreadlocks.
Exactly. That happened. I didn't buy a new fucking toilet seat, so that's that. Anyways, I played and finished Evil Within so that I can now trade it in for Evolve. And Evil Within was like 16 and a half hours for me, which is a good amount of time for a super linear story, like as linear as the story can be. And I got to say, I'm impressed. I mean, like the ending was fine, you know, so-so, but just it didn't have like – I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. You know, I can't because we got another guy over here that's playing it, so I don't want to talk about it too much. But – either way, it was good. The whole thing was good. All the way, like, every chapter, it's like 15 chapters all up to the end. Super solid. Thing is, linear games that are 16 hours long is just a long fucking game.
I was going to say, you keep kind of, like, contradicting yourself in the sense of saying, oh, yeah, I mean, I was impressed. It was good, but it was just so fucking linear. It's like... It just sounds like you're basically saying it's the same thing over and over again. There really wasn't
No. Not, no, linear is not that. Linear means that
no choices.
No choices.
Well, I understand.
I get what you're saying. You know, nothing like that.
I'm getting at those. It sounds like you're saying, oh yeah, I give it props, but it was so linear. Like
linear is not. It's not repetitive in that way. It's just like Uncharted. Or like games like that, you know, like or God of War. Like there is no exploring. Like there's a corner you can go in to find like a chest or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I understand.
But you just go through, and it's just the doors that are there is the ones you walk through. Like that's just simple as that. And you go to the next part.
It's not like Grand Theft Auto where you can just go do side missions and explore.
There are zero side missions in this whole thing. It's just straight up just.
So just for like a straight up story being 16 and a half hours gameplay is pretty impressive.
It is, but it's also like it's long, man. I mean, it's just long, it is. Dude. But that's like the thing. Like
for 60 bucks, though, that's kind of short.
But like you said.
There's good replay, I think. Is there? Because you have like New Game Plus. New Game Plus is where like you keep all of your leveled up equipment and all the abilities and all that stuff. And you can play it through the second game. It's like I played it on fucking easy, honestly, because like I had a normal. I'm like, yeah, this is not happening. Because it's just like the ammo is so sparse that you just get stuck. And then you're going to get in like – you get to like a point in a level – where, like, you have to just get through it, but you have no ammo, and then when you die, it goes back to the checkpoint, and you're like, well, I still have no ammo. I have to just keep trying it, and, like, your melee sucks. So, like, it's just fucking difficult. So, anyways, everyone out there, they know I suck at games, so.
Gameplay aside, though, you said super linear, but you'll walk through a room, and you literally inhabited the space for 10 seconds. But that room was just done up. They spent
it was gorgeous.
10 hours building
it
that
is
room.
Exactly. Like, there's so many parts like that where they just like flash in one thing and go to the next. You're like, well, that fucking room took forever to make. Exactly what you said. You know, it's beautiful. I gave it, like, me and Raheem were talking about it, and I gave it, I would give it a 8 out of 10 if I was reviewing games. Because it was, the combat is, well, not the combat, but like the aiming is just not on par with new games, even though they probably do it on purpose to make it like stress you out more because you can't get the headshot that you want to get. If it played like Destiny or Call of Duty, you could pick up headshots all day and then ammo wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. Like you said, they probably made it so it's like that. I just started playing it, and it does have that like Resident Evil sort of
made
like,
by the same people.
Yeah, exactly. But it, you know, Resident Evil, it wasn't the easiest to like shoot, you know. And I think that's kind of the point. I really like the close over the shoulder thing. That just
freaks you out.
We were talking about that. They pulled you in, like now you can't see half the room, but
and you can't look around corners.
Damn it, that's stressful.
Even though it's third person, you can't look around corners for dick.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't allow you to. You can like get really close and like try, but like
but they let you peek in the room.
Yeah, so they do all that stuff, and it's pretty fun. So I was doing that. I give the game, like, it's a purchase. It's better to rent or, like, borrow because it's, once again, you beat the story and you're pretty much done. I do want to continue on and do some New Game Plus because, like, I really just want to, like, level out all the shit. You know, it's, like, really fun to, like,
see. It does have touch of RPG, too, where you can make things better.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's like there's probably like 50 different, like, if you want to say like weapon trees and like ability trees, probably 50 different.
But things. It is the creepiest ability tree. Like, you plug your brain in.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that part. You sit down in the chair and
yeah,
like, the spikes go in your head.
That's fucking trippy.
And you flinch when it hits you in the head. You're like, oh, shit. So those cool things. That's but besides that, they have like a season pass, and there's going to be three things in it. And two of them you play as the girl detective in it, which is just like a side character that you meet like out of like three of the fucking 15 chapters. And then there's two of those. It's like a part episode one, episode two, and then episode three of the season pass, you play as one of the enemies in the Evil Within. You play as one of the enemies.
That's kinda
cool. You do like satanic ritual and like all kinds of weird like missions for the antagonist in the game. And that's like a really unique idea to like play as a bad guy. But you're not playing as the bad guy. You're playing as one of his minions, and you're doing tasks for him. And if you, I don't know if you've seen this guy, but anyways, he has a vault for a head, like a little bank safe for a head. So when you see him, you realize how much of a pain in the ass he is, and it'd be like very fun to play as him. It sounds like pretty damn cool. So there's that. So I'll get evolved pretty soon, and. You know, we got more stuff to talk about later, like we've been playing our Minimander, our Tiny Leaders decks and all that
stuff. Hell yeah.
But overall, it's just like been back and forth with Destiny and Evil Within this whole week. And really nothing else to talk about. I mean, I've just been pretty lazy, taking care of the house, blah, blah, blah. I've had like, you know, personal house purchasing issues and all this weird stuff, but like nothing fun for the cast kind of shit. So, so take it away, somebody. That's the end of mine.
Well, real quick to comment on that, like, I haven't been interested in Evil Within at all.
overall. Based on how you talked about it, it doesn't sound that fun to me.
Right.
And it's like, I don't really care about the gore part of it. Like, yeah, that can be fun in games. Like,
a lot of blood. Fuck.
And that's so that's fine. Blood. But, I mean, it's just, and when it's just kind of there, I don't really give a shit about it. If there's a reason for it, it's a lot more exciting. But the fact that you said there is actually an ability kind of tree, that right there was the one thing that was like, oh, okay, well, that right there for me makes it at least playable for me to try.
Your health, your sprint, like, all the weapons have 5 or 6 different like things that you can do with them, and then
bigger
each of those
clips, faster reloads.
And each of those things have like 5 trees in themselves. Mm-hmm. So like you can go from like holding 5 ammo to 6 to 8 to 10 to 12, and like, okay, 12 is the max. Whatever. Mm-hmm. They still limit you like big time. So
yeah, that was the thing though. Like, just hearing it's linear, no side missions, no nothing else, and like just straight through. It's like games nowadays are just, there's so many options of things to do. Typically,
I love linear. My some of my top games of my life have been very linear games.
Don't get me wrong, so. I love old school games too and whatnot. But now I'm kind of spoiled in the sense that's like, I get lost in open world games.
Right.
Like, part of my thing I'm about to talk about is I got Far Cry 4 for Christmas. So I wanted, it looked really interesting to me. I played Far Cry 2 for a bit. There were some issues with it I didn't like. I didn't play Far Cry 3, but
yeah,
Far
Cry 4... it didn't have its problem. Far Cry 1 was a fucking handful.
I never played that one, yeah.
Dude.
But Far Cry 4, I cracked that and got it from Christmas, and man, oh man, I definitely suggest it. That's a lot of fun.
Well, why don't you take it away, buddy?
That's fun.
Well, yeah, get going.
It's a good time. It's you know, it takes you off, and it's difficult enough. It adds a touch of stealth play to it. You know, you're able to like duck down and throw a rock to get the guards to look a different direction, kind of
even
deal.
Even though it's like open, like in like a... Isn't it still?
It's basically like India-ish, basically. Like,
are there like
it's
a lot
of rap, but it's basically India. So.
Are there a lot of buildings, or is it still just like little like, huts and all that
it's,
kind of stuff?
There's like trees, little bushes, like huts, outposts and shit like that. But for the most part, you're in the wild and you're running around. There's like bridges. There's little roads, and you definitely run into towns and stuff. But really, it's you're running through a lot of different roads, going mission to mission and side mission to mission, and killing animals to like upgrade your, say, your ammo pouch. You can carry more ammo, or your gun pouch can carry another gun, and it'll have a weapon slot available.
Right.
So there's a lot of open play to it, and a lot of pretty cool shit to it. It's difficult enough that it gets you interested and keeps you like I'm playing on like normal mode, because I'm past playing games on easy for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. I understand like Evil Within was difficult. I don't know how to judge that.
I just suck. That's all it is. I mean, I just suck.
But I found like it's just more interesting to you know, have at least a little. I don't like playing games like that where I haven't like played them before, have a background in like in that particular series on hard, because I'm like, that'll just frustrate me.
Yeah.
I'll get pissed off about it. But like on normal, it's difficult enough that you want to, like, you have some issues. You definitely die a decent amount of times. It's fucking crazy when you're walking down the road, you don't happen to notice a rhino in the bushes, and he just fucking charges you and just rams your face.
That's
in.
Pretty cool.
Like,
having
what the
like that.
Fuck? Are you kidding me?
That's pretty cool having all those like animals. I've seen like the elephants and other weird shit like that. It seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't unlocked the perk yet where I can ride elephants. I haven't chosen to yet.
So I wanted to touch on one thing that I was watching. Me and Raheem were watching a stream of Dying Light, which just came out end of last month.
That looks good.
That looks fucking really good. I was like, I was looking at the reviews of it just because. And I was watching the gameplay for like 20 minutes, and I was like, fuck, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this good open world, like, survival game where, like, when you die, it has, like, very negative impact on, like, your whatever you're going to do next. But, like, it's not just like a DayZ or whatever where you're just dropped in the middle of nowhere every time, where it's just like this open world, like do whatever kind of thing. This has like missions,
mm-hmm.
but you still have that same survival feel. I thought that looked really, really good.
I mean,
but who knows?
Like, I wanted Dead Island to be really good. Like, I was really excited for Dead Island.
You know,
Island.
This is made by those guys.
I don't like hearing that.
But I know. I don't like Dead Island
because
either.
I was so fucking excited for Dead Island when they had the previews and like finally a legitimate fun zombie game besides like Left 4 Dead, which, you know, I love, but this is like an open world kind of thing, which makes it a totally different style, which was
totally
very
agree. By the way, it was disappointing.
And then I just I think I played 15 hours with it, and that was just because I was trying so hard to like it because I was so excited for it, and it was just the biggest piece of shit there
was. It was
so frustrating to go from like the tower to make it over to some little hut, and it's like, okay, now I'm going from that hut back to the tower, back to the hut, back to the tower. Like the same mission with a different name.
Oh, it's so sad. I know, it's so stupid.
It's like, what the fuck? Nothing goddamn worth playing is happening.
Yeah,
it's
exactly
the same spots I'm going to back and forth.
Dream, was it good?
Amazing.
It looked
amazing.
Dying Light looks good.
Dying Light looks amazing.
So yeah, Dead Island is a flop. Just the teaser trailer they have out right now, like it looks that's just the teaser trailer itself. There's no real gameplay in that trailer, and it looks fucking good just from that
alone.
So I agree. I'm excited to try that one.
Gameplay looks really good.
Speak up, buddy. Can't hear you back there.
Is it really good, like, free-running mechanic to it?
Or you can have, like, a grappling hook.
Okay.
And well, besides that, yeah, it has like a lot of parkour.
Looks like you can climb like anything.
Anything. Game, yeah. You can like grappling hook, like
hardcore parkour.
Like, yes, hardcore
parkour.
Hardcore parkour. So you have a grappling hook that can reach like no shit 100 feet or like 80 feet.
Oh shit. Spider-Man, motherfucker.
Everywhere, and it seems like really fun. And then the parkour aspect where you can just like climb whatever the fuck you want.
That's cool. I like that. Pretty that could cool. add a that little touch of things.
That reminds me of Bionic Commando reboot. That was garbage. That was such a disappointment for me.
You love that game. Remember the trailer where they're like, and now with jumping.
Yeah.
Now you can jump.
You can turn left or right.
Yeah, it's so funny.
So no. In Far Cry 4, like the bad guy, I love him. He's fucking cool as shit. Like in the first like opening scenes, like you're taking like your mom's ashes back to like this place in Kyrat, trying to like spread her ashes because her dying wish was. So you're going there. You're on this bus. This dude's trying to smuggle you in. And all of a sudden, your bus gets stopped by some people, and your bus gets shot up. Everybody gets killed, essentially. And then, like, the head dude, like, the head bad guy shows up in a helicopter and, like, picks you up and whatnot. And he's just nuts. And, like, for me, like, my favorite, like, comic book character is the Joker. And after that, like, I love Loki. And before, Loki is just, like, a comic one. I love the mythology of Loki. Like, those are my two favorite. Like, you know, Batman's great. I love Batman, all kind of stuff. You know, fuck Superman. A lot of different comics I like and that kind of jazz. But my favorite is Joker and Loki outside of comics.
Right.
So I love that. Just want to see, like, that comment in like the Dark Knight movie where some people just want to see the world burn. I think it's fucking great.
Right.
No, like I just that comment, like, it just kind of hits me. Like some like you have no answer for what he's doing. Like some people just want to see the world burn. And that's kind of, I don't know. It was a little fucked up, but I don't like the stupidity of the masses. It kind of really angers me. So I kind of adhere to Joker and Loki and that kind of style. So this guy is that kind of style in this game. He's just fucking nuts. He's out there. He's badass. And he's just kind of wild. So I hope to. I'm excited to interact with him more because he's fucking cool as shit. So Far Cry 4, I definitely suggest it. It's a fucking fun game. The other thing I did was I decided to, with the tax return, go out and buy Evolve. And off of Hot Sauce's suggestions, because it's it looked sweet from the trailers I had seen, all kind of jazz, and he gave it thumbs up, so I went out and got that, and it is fucking awesome. Holy shit, it is difficult, though. Like, I went to play, and, like, they have, like, the... I haven't played multiplayer yet. I've only played the single person, so I'm just trying to...
I've been looking at it. I've only seen Twitch feeds, but it looks...
It's definitely fun. I suggest it for sure.
Very Left 4 Dead-y, but...
Yeah, it definitely has that feel. You know, you're doing the same things over and over again kind of thing, but so far, maybe 10 hours in, it doesn't, like, get boring because – probably because, like, it's kind of frustrating because it's fucking difficult as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I there's a mode where you can play, like, quick play and play, like, one little thing. Or there's, like the evacuation, like campaign kind of deal where you play 5 missions in a row.
Right.
And you either choose the monster or the hunters. And each level you can choose what hunter you're playing either.
And that's the one where the monster evolves each round, right?
Yeah, well, every round the monster's trying to evolve.
Right.
So, I mean, and there's, like, rounds where, like, you hunt the monsters. Other ones where, like, there's eggs. The monster, like, will hatch, like, make a minion. And you're trying to destroy all the eggs in the time limit.
Okay.
There's another one where you're trying to, like, get the survivors to a waypoint. And, like, the last one of, like, the 5 map match is defend the home base while, like, the alpha monster, he's already, like, the monster starts at stage 3, which is alpha, and, like, has minions, and he's just, like, swarming you like a motherfucker. So it's a lot of fun, but, like, the first 2 times I played the little campaign, like, 10 total matches, I only won 3 of the rounds. Wow. And I was like, fuck me, this is goddamn hard. And then, like, after you're, like, you lose the first 2, like, it gives you, like, yeah, the monster gets bonuses, like, to the map or whatever, like, say, you know, get, like, he'll break open a dam and some eels will go in the water. So if you go in the water in the stage, like, eels will attack you. Kind of, there's things like that. It's all kinds of combinations. But, like, it'll actually, at that point, though, now the monster's, like, won the first 2 rounds, it'll kind of give you a buffer, so it makes it a little easier to actually kill in round 3, so it kind of evens it out a little bit, so you're not just getting fucking raped the whole time. Like, yeah, you still can lose, but it makes it a touch easier. So, like, 2 of those wins were after I've lost the first 2 rounds, so it was a little easier. So I don't even count it.
Good game, though. Fun.
A lot of fun. So after that, though, I played it, and I think really what it is it forces you to, because there's a lot of RPG upgrade type factors to it, where you build your character up by doing, like, getting a certain amount of damage with your lightning gun, a certain amount of damage with your mines. So you have to, like, build those up, and your characters get better, and you can unlock other characters that have different, like the one dude, like the one hunter has, the assault guy has, like, a lightning gun. The next hunter, next assault guy you unlock has a flamethrower arm kind of deal. So I've noticed now that I've got to that guy, and I like him a lot better than the lightning gun dude. And I just feel he's stronger. So it kind of forces you to upgrade your things as you get better. Because at first it's just like, oh my god, this is fucking, it's not frustrating because it's fun, but it's like, what the fuck, this is so goddamn hard. This is stupid.
A little bit of a learning curve.
It's a learning curve because you definitely have to, like, you want to, as, like, the monster, just fucking start going in and slashing their faces off and kind of shit.
Bing,
like,
bomb.
Like, you can't. There's three monsters, like, a Kraken, a Wraith, and, like, the one you start off with. When you start off with, like, you just want to attack their face, but really you have to, like, you need to run away. Like, as far as you can, evolve up, and still, like, stay stealthy and hidden, because they will fuck you up if you just try to go at them.
Well, so you guys know a lot my of games. Fun, learning curve is, like, part of my games. Like, I don't play new games. Evolve looks cool. I heard a lot about it from Sauce. It looks like a lot of fun, but I play old games, and I just play a lot of the same games. I'm all up in Destiny. But besides that, my main game is Kerbal Space Program, and just huge learning curve.
That seems so, like it's like, I want to play it, but I feel like I would just get frustrated because of the learning curve.
But it's the most satisfying game.
It is so satisfying. You're building rockets and going to other planets. Like, I think the first, it gives you like two tutorials, or at least when I started it, it may give you more.
Is this
now.
Like an old computer game?
So it's a Steam. I got it on Steam. It's actually still a beta game. It's not like full release, I guess.
Okay.
But everybody.
That's why. I mean, you're talking like older games, and you went into that. I'm like, I've never heard of that. So
yeah,
like,
no, it's old. It's a computer game. It's on Steam. Get it's the best game ever. I love it.
It was made for you. He says that.
Yeah.
The Peppermint Swirl's like, if one game was made for me, this is the game made for
me. It's not like flashy. It's like, use your brain to achieve this goal.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like, well, you set your like own goals, or like there's community
based goals. In the beginning, you set your own goal. Well, the game has evolved a lot since I started playing it, and that's when I talked about it a lot. I've since given in to the fact that you guys don't give a shit about the game, but
if the podcast wasn't on right now, I would not ask any questions. I'm just being honest here.
Are we done here?
Can we move
talking
on?
Talking about Steam, no. There was a sale, so I downloaded Final Fantasy VII, baby. So I played that for a couple hours, and yeah. Fuck yeah.
No, it started,
Final Fantasy VII!
Shut up! It started out as, yes, it was very sandbox. You just came up with your own thing. You had a full solar system to work with, and you had to get there and do whatever you wanted to do. But now they've added in missions. You have like a mission control, and basically you get paid a certain amount of resources or whatever to achieve this goal, and then you get paid and you get reputation. But what it really is at the end of the day is if you're like into space stuff, like this game is for you. You build rockets, you get off a planet, you go to the moon, you build rovers.
How's the skill tree?
Like,
do you have a rocket launcher?
There is a skill tree, though. You want to get started on that road.
Yeah, yeah.
You start off with...
Go ahead, James May.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
several minutes later.
So you need to work on your delta V, which is your change in velocity, and you're going to need fuel to pay for that. So, no,
How many community college classes do I need to take to understand this game?
None. You're going to need to get into a better school.
Oh, damn it!
Sorry, it might not be your game,
Steam
actually.
Does Steam get refunds?
you gotta turn in your fucking degree to get the game.
No, it is so much fun. The first month is frustrating as hell, but then when you figure it out, it just keeps giving and giving and giving. That said, I stepped away from it because it was just consuming me.
And it's also not Destiny.
And Destiny came out, and Destiny's much more instant reward. Anybody who says that Destiny's like, oh, I've got to grind to get anything, I just say you don't fucking understand. play Kerbal.
You never played Pokemon, and you're not worthy of it.
I hate when me and Raheem talk about the game, and we're like, oh, man, I just need these fucking shards. I need, like, all this whatever material. And Brevin Swirl's like, what the, it's so easy. Like, you're just so, how are you guys behind? I have 1,000 of those, and I don't know where to spend them on. And I'm like grinding them out. He's like, you guys suck.
You guys don't understand grind. You spent less than 60 hours on Mass Effect, you know nothing.
So my week was pretty good.
Thank you.
I'm editing all of that out.
Please do.
So my week was pretty good. I didn't really do too much. Just was dicking around on Magic Online. I started playing The Evil Within. Because the whole thing was, I bought it for my girlfriend, and I was going to let her play the entirety of it, and then I was going to start playing it, so, you know, we didn't have to, like, you know, kind of, like, watch each other and ruin parts of the game. But she's just been so busy with work and school that she hasn't really been playing too many games, so I was like, fuck it, I'm playing it, and I'd watched her play, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of it. And so I was like, yeah, whatever, this game isn't all that great. And then I got like a couple chapters in, and I was like, all right, this game has something to offer. Like, you got me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to just beating the crap out of it. Like I said on a couple podcasts ago, I have so many games right now that I'm just doing this thing where I play one game until I beat it, and then I move on to the next one. So,
except when you didn't in December, when you just bought 20 games and then you just went back and forth a million times. We're like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this?
I know. So that's when I implemented this rule where I just play one game and then I just devote myself to that one game. So that's the Evil Within.
Same thing with books. You gotta read a book. Exactly. Get done and don't go back and forth.
Shouldn't it be magic?
No. Well, I mean, like a storyline game. Anyways, so speaking of magic,
real quick,
ruining segues.
Really quick,
you're Peppermint Swirl, the segue ruiner. That's your
back he to storyline. Who's segue. Into the lore? Who's the magic lore guy?
He is.
Well,
I'm trying to crack into. So, I enjoy it.
Hot Sauce hates the lore. Reich doesn't. He could. Care less. He doesn't hate it, but he doesn't love it. I've read, I don't know, 4 or 5 of the books.
I'm just trying to get into it. I do enjoy it overall.
And Crow's pretty much enjoying it, too. So.
I'm just asking because that kind of ruins your one storyline game thing, because magic should still be it.
That's a story.
You know gotcha. What? Gotcha. That's
you know what?
You're an asshole.
I got nothing to say against that.
Yeah, you know that what? Makes
you've
entire,
got a week to
that
teach
makes a
me
lot
the
of
lore.
Sense. Fuck. What an asshole. You're out of here, bro.
So we haven't done any permanent bannings on the cast. I think Peppermint Swirl deserved one right there.
That was awesome. I love it.
And there were three.
But speaking about bannings, there was a modern Pro Tour just this past weekend, and with the metagame really fucking shifted onto its ass with all the bannings, we were able to see what the pros came up with their deck lists. And you know what, first of all, what I want to ask you guys, we're not super into modern, like, you know, we may pay attention to it, or we may just really, you know, We try and follow the highs and lows of it, and you know, we're trying to like find decks that are worth buying into. But what do you guys think about like the one Pro Tour a year? Because they changed it to where it was going to be all standard Pro Tours, and then the community bitched and bitched and bitched, and then so they went back to...
So it's three and one?
So what? It's three mm-hmm. three standards, or two standards and a modern.
Oh, there's only three Pro Tours?
There's a four? Okay,
pretty sure it's four.
So there's all standard except one modern. So what do you guys think about that? Do you like it?
I don't have a problem. I like watching modern enough.
Do you wish there was more?
Modern's fine. I mean, I don't have like a big old boner about it, but like I think that modern's pretty cool. I like seeing like change and variation and like new cards get implemented. Like I still like Sea Drino. I'm not sick of it yet, you know? And I also like Bannings. I don't care about Bannings either. Like, fuck it, let's get it going, you know? So I like Shake Up and Modern. I actually watched, like, pretty much the whole weekend, whatever I could. And, I enjoyed it as fun.
Would you rather just watch, like, Star City or Channel Fireball, like, modern events? Or do you think that the actual Pro Tour being modern is, like, something you're interested in?
I get what you're saying. For me, like, you know, I like you. I could kind of take modern, take it or leave it as far as it goes. I mean, I kind of like it in the sense that I get to learn about older cards and see different strategies, different styles. I like that fact. I like knowing roots of where things come from. So that kind of gives me a more of a background into earlier game stages and stuff. So that's fun. At the same time, like, I also don't really give a shit too much about it. I also understand, though, that why people want at least one Pro Tour for it. So for that reason, I do like that they brought it back in. I understand and like that they have one in there because Magic implemented this style of play a few years ago. And it's like they put all this money into it. A lot of people love it. So to take it away entirely from the main stage, I understand people are upset about that. So I do agree that there's one of them.
I agree that that modern players deserve it. I say that. Like, you know, modern is cool. If I was a modern player, I would totally be backing it up. You know what I mean? I'm not really a modern player, but, like, still, I appreciate they're doing it.
So, like, on the main stage, like you said, modern's one-third of the Pro Tours.
I think it's one-quarter.
One-quarter.
One-quarter? One-quarter. So it's one-quarter, but, like, what about in the Magic shops? Because, like, when I was in the Magic shop this weekend, somebody came in, you know, we doing modern tonight? He's like, no, I didn't have enough people, you know?
At the local level, it's up to the shop. So it's dependent on your area, but it's, like I said, it's up to them. So they can do standard, they can do limited or draft, they can do sealed, they can do modern, they can do all sorts of variations. But SCG, which is a second only to Wizards of the Coast in regards of putting on, like, events.
No. First in regards.
Yeah. SCG is first way,
quality, I think.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like...
But, yeah, second in regards, I get you.
So, like, you know, obviously Wizards of the Coast, they have the Pro Tour, and everyone pays attention to that. And then SCG puts them on, like, every weekend. They, film it, stream it, all that stuff. And they did put modern. They made some changes recently where modern is now... They kind of rotate between three formats, whichever one gets camera play. So, I forget what your question was.
It was your question.
Is it as prevalent, like, at the local level as it is? Is it a quarter of the games going on in your town?
I think local, if you're in a shop, main thing is that you want to play limited. Limited, I think, is like people want to draft with, like, a big group of people. You know, whether it be sealed or whether it be just regular draft or whatever, where you just pass it around. I think that's like maybe a tie with standard.
I was gonna say, I mean, I like limited and stuff, but for me, like, when I go to Friday Night Magic, there's different shops around town like that. One puts on standard, like, exclusively. Other one, like, goes from, like, a draft to a chaos draft to a sealed to one standard a week.
Right. Well, I think that draft, you got to do it with people, and people don't. A lot of Magic players don't just have a group of six guys.
Yeah.
That can, you know, just hang out at their house and play. I mean, we have that luckily, but, like, even still, it's still hard to get us all together when we're not casting to go ahead and do a draft. So if you want to do a draft, you got to go out to a store. But standard, you can still just do one-on-one with a buddy. I just think that it's more limited. All that kind of stuff's more relevant in a store.
So to vaguely answer your question, give or take, yes, modern is one-third to one-fourth of what's going on out there. Just because there are so many formats and so many choices. But modern is, like Crow said, they implemented it, you know, some years back, and it's been a real hit because there was legacy and vintage formats, much older cards, much more expensive, and modern was kind of like the poor man's legacy, the poor man's vintage. And so a lot of people picked up on it, and now it's just really starting to boom over these past, like, 2 years. Ever since we got into Magic, it just started really taking off.
Well, I can see it's a nice chance to use your old library of cards you've built over the...
Right, and that's kind of, like, what we're doing. Like, we're not going out and buying modern staples and all that. We're just playing Standard and, you know, Commander and all these other little dinky formats. But we're building our library, so in 4 years, mm-hmm. 5 years, we can have a selection of modern playable cards, or at least we can have cards that are worth money to trade in for modern
Yeah, that, or between us have a modern deck to play against. I mean, it would be a piece of shit compared to what's like a legitimate metagame modern, but it'll be fun to go back in like a couple years from now, you said, and go back and go, we're going to build a deck from all these old cards I've got sitting around, all these cool things I've held on to, yeah. and build something out of it and have a good time with it.
Because there is a barrier to entry into modern.
I was gonna say if you're not in that position where you've built and you're just like, hey, today I want to play some modern, what's an average deck gonna cost to build?
Just the okay, so fetches are in standard right now. One half of the fetch lands are in standard, and so their prices are drastically down from where they were. And then the other half of the fetches are still, what, 20, 50, between 20 and 60 bucks,
yeah, 20
let's say.
60 probably, yeah.
So per one, so you need a playset of four or two playsets, depending on what colors you're running.
What do you think? Like average, you're probably looking at maybe $500?
I think more, because you can get a standard deck for like $500 at the high end.
Yeah, yeah, for the high end.
So it's definitely
I think like a good modern deck is like more typically like an average of a grand.
I don't know about average. I'd say like high end.
Well, I mean, if you're playing like tier one modern deck, I'd say, you know, a grand. I mean, Liliana is, what, $80? what is it? Swords of Plowshares and the other fucking white.
Path to Exile.
Yeah,
well, you
I mean,
get
they're
that
like
one cheap, actually.
Pretty cheap.
I thought they were like 20.
No. I was looking at it recently, and there's some like decent a few printings of it, so I saw it for like $4 or $5. So.
Well, regardless, modern's still kind of expensive to get into, but I like to keep up on it because that's what a lot of the community likes, and that's mm-hmm. what they talk about, and so I find it interesting, and so therefore having that one pro tour a year is like a significant. It's all right by me. You know what I mean? It's because when a new set comes out, I want to see pros playing the new cards. Mm-hmm. And so when that one modern pro tour happens right after a set comes out, I'm kind of like disappointed. Like, fuck, I want to see what they were brewing with and what decks they build.
That's what I was saying last week that SCG did. It's like, I understand they're doing the new rotation, but they should have planned it out a little better in the sense that they, the week of the coming out, they did do the standard format. But the next week was Legacy. It's like, but the new card just fucking came out. Come on. So
the modern's kind of niche-y, but it's cool opportunity to use older cards.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot more mainstream than it was when it first came out.
Like, but, so you say that top tier deck of modern is a grand. What's a top tier Legacy deck?
Who knows?
What do you want to buy, a car or a fucking Legacy deck?
Exactly.
So have you guys had a chance to look at this top eight? Because there was...
You got Dirtle?
I mean,
Dirtle
some,
Bloom?
There
I just want to say, I almost called the winner. In the sense that I said Sam Black. And those two are roommates playing the same fucking deck.
Ah.
And they're, you know, Sam Black just missed top eight by... Like, he was, like, ninth place.
What deck won?
It was the Splinter Twin deck.
Yeah,
so,
right, okay, yeah.
The Splinter Twin, if you don't know what it is, it's two red-red for an enchantment aura. You enchant creature. The enchanted creature has tap. Put a token that's a copy of this enchanted... put a token that's a copy of this creature onto the battlefield. That token has haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step. So what you do is you... You pretty much make copies of things that can untap.
Yeah.
Tap and untap.
You make copies for infinite. You need like a series of like two to three cards, and you just make infinite tokens and you swing them for game. You don't even swing them for game. Like when the person sees Splinter Twin land on the appropriate creature, that's the end of the game.
So like in this particular deck, he has Pestermite, which is 2 and a blue for a 2/1 flyer, has flash. When Pestermite comes into play, you may tap or untap target permanent. So, as you can imagine, you put it on Pestermite, you make a token of that, which you can untap the original Pestermite and
tap it again.
So on and so forth until you have 1,000 of them and swing in for game.
You untap and you tap the first one forever until you make, you know, whatever, 1 million copies, 100 copies, whatever, and you just swing in with 2/1 flyers, and it doesn't matter how many blockers they have, you can make infinite, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, there's more nuances to the deck, but I mean, that's pretty much the combo right
there.
From
what I've heard, though, like that deck, that they rarely, I mean, I don't say rarely, I don't want to say like 1 out of 100, but I'm saying like rarely like 1 out of 5
do they actually get the Splinter Twin, or like, you know, one out of three or something like that. Usually it's just a good controlling deck that does the flyer beatdown.
Right.
That's what the an interview said, that he's like, I don't really get the twin that often on there. I usually just have to do the beatdown with the 3-1 and 2-1 flyers. And then the thing is that's good about it is that you play Splinter Twin and they have to counter it, which takes away their turn, takes away their mana, which allows you to, you know, beat down again. So it keeps, like, yeah, you're not winning that turn, but, like, you keep getting in because they have to be reactive.
They have to leave mana up.
Counting them out with aggression,
yeah,
kind of thing.
So the deck that came in second place is Bloom Titan, which I have no idea about. So if anybody does...
They're calling it Bloom Amulet.
No, Amulet Bloom.
Amulet Bloom.
So this is the Dirtle deck. This is the Solitaire deck. This is... It has a turn one win. And it's totally ridiculous where you have to...
Is it turn two, I believe?
Turn one is in one. There's two ways to win.
Oh, because the amulet. Yeah, yeah.
So there's two ways to win. And one of them is to... You bring out... Basically, you play cards that allow you to play additional lands per turn or whatever. And you, like, play a whole bunch of lands. You bring out the...
Primeval Titan.
And you you attack in with that guy or whatever, and that's not your turn one. Your turn one is something else. But anyways, you go ahead and you can by turn one you're allowed to attack for 8, possibly with double strike on turn one if you can get all the cards right, which is like very very rare. On turn two or whatever is that what that is. So turn one you play a card that that allows when you play an instant or sorcery, it copies it for your opponent. Your opponent gets to play an instant or sorcery.
That's right.
And what happens is you play that 0 mana
Summoner's
Pact. You play that. Like, you play all this whole shit that sets up where, like, he has to copy it. So your opponent copies it on turn one, and when his next turn comes up, he has to pay 4 mana to pay for Summoner's Pact, or he loses the game.
Which also works later on if they don't have green.
Right.
So like, it's one of those like, things. Oh, yeah, you can't pay for it, you lose.
If you it comes up to, like, oh, you just get the super double beatdown from Primeval Titan for 8 each turn with Vigilance and all this shit, or you are forced to cast a spell that on your upkeep you have to pay 4 mana that you just don't fucking have, and then you just lose the game.
That's actually how
he lost one of the games, because the other dude, the Splinter Twin guy, played a Blood Moon after he played a Summoner's Pact. So he didn't have the green mana to pay for his own Summoner's Pact on the next turn, because the Blood Moon turned all his non-basics into mountains.
And then he's like, oh, well, that's that. You know, yeah. It's Dirtles, Scoop. Though, man. It's, like, super complicated to get the correct color of mana and all this stuff. And it's just a fucking disaster of a deck to watch. Like, you're just sitting there, and the opponent's, like, scratching his head and just going, like, just go ahead. And even, so, like, you're playing Twin, you don't play shit on your turn. So he does the Dirtly Solitaire shit. It goes to his opponent's turn. The opponent's playing Twin, which is control. It's all his flash and shit like that. He's like, go ahead. Like, he just goes back to his turn. And then once he dirtles through his shit, then he might flash in a creature or use a remand or whatever else. And then it goes, and that's it. So, like, it's funny that it's just Solitaire because the control player never plays shit on his turn. So it's just nothing. The entire game, it's going to – if you had a counter where, like, you know, 30 minutes each for each player, one guy's at 29 minutes and the other guy's at 10 minutes.
He actually got several warnings at the tournament for
– slow play.
For slow play.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like – it's exactly how it is. You have to – I know it's still, like, melodical and you have to just fucking sit there and just be like, oh, my God, what do I do?
Personally, I kind of enjoyed it in the sense that, like, I wouldn't want to watch that more, but I watched a couple of his matches. He was on the fucking little Sam Black was on there for one or two of them, and then in the end, Justin, can't think of his last name, was in the finals, obviously. And I don't know, I found it kind of interesting to see him solve the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, personally, I enjoyed. I don't want to necessarily watch it anymore. I watched probably 3 matches of them doing it. I understand why it was very boring. I get it. I get why experienced players are like, what the fuck? Like, this is horrible TV work, blah, blah, blah. But, well, he got there, though. So for me, it was kind of enjoyable to watch him go, yeah, turn two, double strike, added mana, or
yeah,
+2/+0 from that one land, and blah, 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 and game.
Here's the problem, like, that someone said on Twitter or something, like, I don't know, some pro player, I have no idea. It's like the decks, that some of the decks in Modern, including this one, are like no interaction with your opponent. It's like, can I get my combo? Yes, I can. I win. Yeah. Can I get my combo? No, I can't. You win. There is no, like, oh, I have to set up blockers. There is none of that shit. You just have 20 life and hope that you can get your combo out before it goes to 0. Mm-hmm. You don't block anything. You don't do shit. You just sit there and you just play solitaire and make sure you get to your combo. But there is no blocking. There is no tricks. There is no counter spells. You know, there's no like, you don't do shit. You just sit there and like, all right, I got to turn two, three turns, whatever, to get this combo off. If I don't, I don't.
And this is modern, right? So you only have one shot at making your combo. It's not like you have play sets in there, right?
No, modern. Commander's the singleton.
Okay. Modern, you have four of each thing that you need to
do. Oh, when he said earlier,
it's limited.
When he said reserved, that means like legacy.
Restricted,
excuse me. It means you can only play like one Black Lotus in a deck.
Power 9 is like this old set of cards, whatever, and they're so powerful that you're not allowed to have four. Even though Magic says you can have four of one card, you can't have four because the card is so powerful. If you did have four, you could like combo off into something crazy
turn,
and just win
turn
the game.
One win like every fucking
yeah every time just, because just it's so stupid. You'd have four even the chances are so great so. Yeah.
So it looks like we have another twin in the top eight and we have three Abzan, which it just looks like it's Abzan
just,
good stuff.
It's just Jund plus Siege Rhino and maybe another card or something like that. Like it's just
I think it was like Matthew Stafford, that might have been his name, younger looking guy. He had the same kind of Jund deck, but he had a slightly different take. So all the times having to see Abzan on the fucking main event camera were going on, I enjoyed when his was on there because it was just slightly different.
Which like, I'm down with.
Kitchen Finks and stuff in there, and so he was going a little different route, and it was a lot more enjoyable to watch than other ones.
A lot of the tournament was like the old Birthing Pod deck. Minus Birthing Pod, the four Birthing Pods, whatever they played, you had four more cards in there and you just play that deck anyways. And one of the guys was saying, like, yeah, so I was going to play, like, Burn or whatever, but then, like, my team, if you want to call it that, like, we just, like, got the Birthing Pod deck, took the four out, and we put, like, two of this and two of that in there. And I didn't even play test. I just, like, came in completely blind with the same deck. And I was like, yeah, whatever. These cards are strong. And so he just did that. And I was like, you didn't even play test it? You just built a deck that like may have worked last season and you just did it. And he totally, I think he made top eight. Like, I mean, I think he did really well because Kitchen Finks and all that shit is like, they're super powerful to just gain that life and do the beatdown. So
Abzan was like 30% of the field.
Yeah, it was like a lot of it. You know, I don't mind watching it because, yeah, it's like just playing the good stuff, but at least it is interactive magic where you have to make blocks and make like decisions rather than like, where's my combo pieces? Can I scry into it? Can I brainstorm into it? Can I whatever into it? Like, you know, can I get it? Oh, I got it. I win. Yay. You know, it's nothing. It's like interactive magic, which I want, which is why, in my mind, Standard is still number one because it's very interactive. It's a lot of blocks, attacks, tricks, whatever. And I just like a lot of different things going on in my Magic.
That's kind of where I kind of differ in the sense that, well, not differ. I enjoy Standard because it has a lot more interactions, a lot of things going on. You have to make decisions like that. When I'm watching Modern, I kind of like watching decks that have like, you know, blue in it, something like that going on where there's a lot more tricks and crazy things happening because you're using older cards. I'm like, oh, that's crazy shit I can do. Not necessarily the combo deck itself and things like that, but just seeing like
super powerful
old, cool,
happen.
Like fucking cards. Like, oh my god, like really, that was a card? Holy shit, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I like, I can appreciate those older cards and how they interact, but I don't particularly want to watch it. I don't want to play with it, and I definitely don't want to play against it. Like, that just seems like just that blue white X control deck from last Standard season was so obnoxious to play against that, and it was just horrible to watch. Like, I just. And I can only imagine, combo decks in Modern are just like 1,000 times worse than that.
Blue black now is kind of like that, where you watch people play and they always have like 5 cards in their hand, and someone's like, "All right, I'm gonna cast Siege Rhino." Oh no, I guess I'm not. Okay, cool. Well, I have Solengar. Oh, I guess I don't. You know, whatever. Oh, I have this. I'm gonna delve for Treasure Cruise. Oh no, I will not do that. Never mind. And then you just keep going back and forth, and then the player finally gets out Ugin. And that's like, and then you're like, well, that's that, I guess, you know. And that's like what it is. It's just like Dirtle City, and you don't play your fucking cards until, and then finally they turn 9 or whatever, turn 10, they get the fucking Ugin out, and then you're like, oh, cool, and there it is.
I always hate playing against blue, but at least my Waste Not deck's a little more interesting. I'm not making, I'm letting you do what you
you're
can
totally,
do.
You're absolutely
you
right.
Just can't do much because you don't have very many cards.
You know, I actually like yours better than seeing just regular blue black.
I don't know if this is bad timing, but I need some noob knowledge. What the fuck is Dirtle?
it's a Dirtle turtle, bro. Dirtle
it's what just... I did to you when we played our games. I sat back and said, okay, I'm going to do this. You're going to try to do that. I'm not going to let you come if you discard your cards.
It's a bunch of time wasted when you're playing a game. It's just a bunch of like, I do this, it negates this, we're back to zero. Oh, so, I do this, it goes back to zero. Everything just goes back to zero. And you sit there and you just like, you just don't do a damn thing. You're just like.
So if you and me are playing a game, I'm not doing much, but I'm stopping you from doing what you want to do. So I'll play like a 0-2 or fucking something, but that 0-2 is going to stop you from doing what you want to do. So it's like, I'm not going to win the game because I'm casting good shit. I'm just really stopping you from doing your shit until I get to like turn 9.
You're like not even playing magic for like for 25 minutes. You're not playing magic. You're just like stopping them from playing magic.
And the namesake of Dirtle.
I have no idea.
Who cares?
That's one for the ages. Makes sense.
Novice question. Gotcha.
So it looks like the top 8 is rounded out with some burn. I know burn was somewhat viable, but I think with these recent bannings, it kind of
came back
more into the limelight. And I mean, 2 burn decks in the top 8, that's not too fucking bad.
What's his fucking name?
Seth Manfield.
I like that. I like seeing him go 12-0.
Goober looking motherfucker.
Yeah, hey, whatever. It's good. I mean, he makes some good articles. I like him.
So there's 28 burn spells in Seth's deck. And at least she tans. We got 26 burn. So, I mean, that's a lot of burn.
It's a lot of fucking burn. And then,
with about
like
13, 14
Eidolon
creatures.
Of the Great Revel and some other weird stuff in there to, like, just get it done, you know?
If you kind of think about it, like, how combo decks don't play the other player, burn decks don't really either.
True that.
It's really about, you're absolutely right. Can I count to 20 fast enough?
Except that you get to make choices about killing creatures or not.
I understand. But
you're right.
In general senses, though, it's really about how fast I count.
Right. It's like, do I have the cards in hand? Yes, I do. No, I don't. You're right. In a lot of sense, it's not as bad as the other decks, but it is similar.
There are choices in the tree of interacting with them or not. Whereas the combo deck, just there's no choice to interact with them. You just
That amulet one. There's, like I said, there's literally no blocking or any interaction with any other card. It is just the combo, and there is no secondary win condition. It is only the combo.
So yeah, I spent a lot of time watching this particular Modern Pro tournament, and for me, I much more enjoyed watching the Amulet Blue and watching if he could solve his own puzzle in that moment, what are you trying to do, and the crazy shit he was making happen.
Fair enough.
Than the burn, because it's just like, I don't know, it's like if you want to make a noob, be able to like play, like, oh, this is the introduction deck. Burn my face as quick as you can. It's not fun for me to watch.
It's totally fair
argument.
Absolutely.
Burn. I just didn't give a shit. Like, I understand it's viable, and all kinds of people like just the mono red burn. I get it, but I'm talking about watching something boring. There's still no interaction. Barely.
Top deck. Barely. Oh, did I get the 3 points? No, I did not. You know, that's all it is. I get it. It makes sense.
So I mean, it did very well, obviously, and there's something going on there, and they, you know, I get it.
Don't care. We got any other modern stuff, or you want to get on to you want to move it on?
Let's get this train moving on to the next stop. So I was able to do my first draft on MTGO of the Khan's Fate, and I'm not finding the list, which is just wonderful.
That's okay. I mean, we can still talk about some key cards, but you could just really say that I drafted and I pulled Ugin.
Okay, so pretty much pack one, pick one, Ugin.
Did you keep it?
I fucking kept it, of course. So I don't know how many people are familiar with playing Magic Online, but it's kind of buggy from time to time you'll open up a pack and then you're going to click on the card you want and Magic kicks you offline. So when I saw Ugin, I clicked on that motherfucker so fast that I didn't even look at what was in the rest of the pack. There could have been a foil Ugin behind the other Ugin. I didn't fucking care. I was clicking on that fucking top Ugin. And
right you are for doing that.
Yeah, so motherfucking Magic.
Unless he missed a foil Ugin, which we know he didn't, but holy shit.
Yeah.
Who cares?
So, and then I just went all in on the Ugin plan. I know Sultai is very dirtly and controlling, and I was just getting past the right cards left and right. So if I can
take... Either way, it was really just like a lot of blockers, you know, like a lot of O5s and stuff like
that.
And a lot of removal in those colors.
So I had like a Jeskai Elder, or no, it wasn't Jeskai Elder, Jeskai Sage. It's a 1/1. When it dies, draw a card. So it's just kind of a chump blocker. I had the Monastery Flock, which is the 0/5 defender, but it has morph. And the morph cards are very important because Ugin's ultimate does not affect the morph cards.
Yeah.
So, or not ultimate. So when you minus X, It exiles all cards with a color off of the board. So instead of just hard casting like Monastery Flock, I would, you know, morph it so I could actually attack with it. And then, you know, further down the line, if I needed to use it as a defender, I would flip it up for one mana. And I had Despise, which was, that was a tough choice between Despise and something else. But I took the Despise, trying to just get shit out of their hand, which really fucking worked out because I fucking despise somebody Sarkin, which it was the game won, and it was just like, wow, you pulled a Sarkin. Yeah, that sucks because I got a Despise, and it was just money, money.
There was a lot of a lot of interaction where like they just could not get through. Should he pull like that, the 2/8, whatever, like. Fucking
Mastodon.
Like, not even that much of a playable card, but it's totally efficient at, like, well, you know what? I just need to get to Ugin, so I need a big old body.
You know what did a lot of work was Disown Ancestor. I was able to fucking outlast that guy like a motherfucker.
That's just, all it is. Just high toughness all around.
Yeah. I had Typhoid Rats, Debilitating Injury, some other guys in there, but Douse and Gloom. Mm-hmm. So it was just getting rid of all their.
Did you
early
have a second
shit.
Bomb? Didn't you have another? No, you didn't play the dragon that you wanted, the 4/4 dragon. You didn't play that.
No, I wanted to. I was gonna go black white, but I decided to go Sultai. I had a Dead Drop in there, which was great. I think maybe I had a Shambling Attendance. I don't know if I kept that in or not. I had a Throttle. I had the. I had this motherfucker, Kintree Warden. So it's the 1/1 for forest, and then but you morph him, and then he's a 2/2, and then
you regenerate him for two mana.
Yeah, you can regenerate him when he's not morphed.
So like that's just that. Blockers for days and days and days until you finally, once again, get to Ugin, and then you went, unless if nothing else. You went undefeated the entire draft.
I went undefeated. I also had a Sultai Charm.
Not even a game loss?
Not even one single game loss. I was able to dirtle my way
to freedom.
All the way to freedom. So I was able to dirtle my way to Ugin every game, except there was one game where I actually just got them down to from 20 to 0 without playing Ugin. Which
you pulled them every game after
I pulled them every game except for that one game. So.
Yeah, 5 out of 6, yeah.
Good for five out of 6 games, Ugin fucking did
it
the
It was
job
funny
for
because
me.
His opponents a lot of times had like 6 mana creatures like the 4/4 with lifelink from Khons. And he's like, well, I pull out Ugin, that means just a -6 to exile everything. And so that means that Ugin's at 1, and he's like, son of a bitch, you better not do a dash. You better not get me. You know, like, I'm down to 1. This is my win condition. You better not. And then nobody ever did.
Nice.
He always got to keep Ugin on the board to win, to seal the victory. So, but it was very, like, nerve-wracking where you see, like, the opponent's at 9 mana, and he -6, and he's like, oh, you better not, you son of a bitch.
There was a lot of nail-biting moments where, you know, if I didn't make the right play or the right sequence of plays, then I was just going to be fucked. And I did make a couple misplays, but luckily they didn't come back to bite me in the ass. I had, I think it was 2 Smoke Tellers. It's the...
yeah, I have no idea what that is.
One, I don't mean either. It's a 1 in a green for a 2/2, and then you pay 1 in a blue, look at target face-down creature. Which actually was relevant because, with the manifest or more importantly, the morph, just because I really needed to be efficient with my kill spells and everything. And more often than not, I just, whenever they used the morph or manifest, I just fired it off. I didn't care what was underneath.
I'll say that a 2/2 for 2 in limited, like, just draft that fucking thing.
Yeah, it's still, 2/2 for 2, still just good.
So you need a 2 drop, get a 2/2 for 2. Simple as that.
I had Archer's Parapet, which did a lot of work for me. Basically, just I had a lot of shit couldn't even attack, and then I had morphs that could attack, and it was just great when I would wipe the board and still have 2 of my morphs out there. And one of the games I won with the fucking defender that was morphed. I just thought it was funny that I fucking beat him down with a defender.
A 2/2,
yeah. Yeah, it was morphed, so all, you know. It shouldn't have been able to attack, but I really have a lot of luck early on in a format. Early on in when a new set comes out, I think a lot of people, you know, are trying different things. They don't have the meta down for the draft. and I didn't go up against.
You're good in the good early have the drafting technique down beginning, and then you start learning how to draft, and you go, oh, I suck.
Yeah, and then they figure it out, and you go, well, I guess that's me.
Yeah, like I'm really good when no one has any idea what's going on, but once they figure it out, they surpass me, and then I'm just like, I come in second place all day.
Still pretty good.
But I didn't go up against any aggro decks, which I don't know how I would have really done against them. You know, if somebody went really wide on me, I don't know if I would have been able to keep up with it. But I was pretty stoked. The Ugin card is going to go in my Sultai Walkers list, which I'm building online and in paper. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And Ugin's going down in price on
17
Moto.
Right now, which I'm excited about. Yeah, I need 17. Two for my Lace Knot deck.
Yeah, I'm super stoked on it. So, you know what? We were able to play some motherfucking Mini Mander today. That
real
is
quick
right.
Before you jump through thoroughly into
yes,
that,
sir.
If you don't mind, sir.
Go
apologize.
Right ahead.
Is I told you guys I kind of sold off like pretty much everything I had for the most part was worth shit to make my Wasteland deck on there.
Right.
Well, now I'm kind of slowly building up the Purphoros token deck that we built on the cast on Moto as I'm paying, because I've now play tested that. I don't know, maybe 10 times or less, maybe. But so far, it's actually pretty good.
It does a lot of work. He beat me. There is a time where he beat me without attacking, and he just did 20 damage through Purphoros and
I thought he didn't turn one, saw I had Aether Spouts. I went wide with like 10 creatures and said, well, I don't need to attack. I'm going to continue to create tokens and burn you
for
22
damage. Yeah, exactly. Whirling Outburst does 6 and Raise Alarm does 4, and I just sat there and like,
spirits.
Tried to get in, and I'm like,
Monastery Mentor for every.
He's just doing 6 a turn, god damn it.
So it's actually pretty fun. So like I have like a shittier, cheaper version of it currently on Moto. So that's my next goal too, is to build that on there. So that's
did you make any major changes to the list we had made?
Not yet. Originally, well, one thing I did do is I knew I was never going to bring in 4 Thoughtseize. So I did, for sideboard, take out two of the Thoughtseize and put in a Chandra and a Sorin.
Okay.
Because of if I end up getting late game and they're able to block, you know, slow me down. Like at one point, Hot Sauce, we were playing against his Manifest deck, and he was able to work it out where he actually made it to a later game. I'm like, at that point, then really nice to have Chandra to look at two cards a turn and figure out what I wanted to do right then, kind of thing. And then the Sorin, just to add in a +1/+0 and gain lifelink with all the wide tokens I've got.
Yeah.
So far, it's happened basically every game. I've gotten like 10 creatures on the field at a time.
Nice.
It's been fucking sweet. So that idea of going, okay, well, now at that point, here we go. And Brutal Horde Chief is just a fucking beast.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Big fan
so
of that guy.
I thought for sure one of the first 2 changes I was going to make was the Triplicate Spirits. After play testing it, it actually is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Not bad. I had that 3 more going right there. And then the Convoke part of it, too, actually does help. I mean, you know, it costs 6, so that Convoke is necessary in most parts. So where I thought I was taking it out, now I'm like, actually, you know what? It's actually pretty sweet.
We only put 2 on the list, right?
It's only 2. So, I thought I wasn't going to like it. And actually, so far, first 10 games of playtesting, it actually has done some work.
That motherfucking
right
Convoke.
I'm glad to hear it. We actually came up with something decent. Even though it is kind of a gimmicky deck. But
that's the thing, though.
If
like
you
I
build
said,
it around
I've really only, with the Purphoros, only in like the 10 games, put him on the field like twice.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, I'm probably 8 and 10 right now.
It's more like I think like the Brutal Horde Chief or Purphoros gets the job done.
Going super wide on
mm-hmm.
Super
and then
just wide like
oh.
That.
And then I haven't actually put the Shaman of the Great Hunt yet down, but I know that will do the same basic thing.
It's kind
of
like a
get bigger
when,
and bigger.
When you get some, when either like you put down Purphoros and just play out your shit and do 2 damage for each creature, blah blah blah. Or you have your 7 tokens or whatever, throw down Brutal Horde Chief, and then you're like, oh, my tokens are gonna die. I don't care. I'm just gonna attack for 7. You're gonna lose 7 life. I'm gonna gain 7 life. Half my board's going to die, but next turn I'm going to swing it again and you're just going to be dead. Like, it's just too much. Once again, it's all that, like, around the creature damage, you know, around the backdoor damage that just fucking destroys people.
Backdoor beauty?
What's that?
Backdoor beauty?
Yeah, that's what I am.
And there's nothing I hate more than backdoor damage. Am I right, Peppermint Swirl? Come on.
I wouldn't know anything.
Give me an amen.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And shit
I'm
and
just
origami.
Hanging out throwing ass around.
So, we were able, me and Hot Sauce were able to get our Tiny Leaders decks together after so much goddamn talk about it. It was
we're
like
sticking with Minimander.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people
Minimander is the best. I know, but we're gonna make it happen.
We're making it a thing.
It's gonna be a thing. Bring it back.
I wrote it on the show notes.
We'll change one rule and trademark Minimander.
Yeah, there we go. So after talking about it for so long, it feels like we've been talking about it for like a month or something. We were actually able to get our deck, so we were just like teenage boys with just raging hard-ons, and finally we were able to race home from school and just stroke our throbbing penises.
A little tiny little boner.
Tiny
Peppermint
little.
Just kept sitting there and laughing. So you're like, what's going on? I don't know, but I like it.
Tiny little boners. So speaking of tiny boners, what did you build your deck around?
So I beat it around a little tiny wiener.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's the deck's simple enough. Like, you're playing Jeskai. You're playing Shu Yun, the Silent Tempest, the steaming teapot. And I've talked about it before. So and the strategy I had basically worked. Which is, you get this bitch out, and you give her double strike and unblockable, you know, and then the unblockable triggers the prowess. So the 3-2, which is Shu Yun, turns into a 4-3. It has, triggers double strike, so you attack for 8, and it's unblockable, and you hit for 8. And you only have 25 life, so you do that once. The opponent's like, well, that's not good. And then they have to watch out going like, well, I can't take another hit of that. So they have to change their state and figure out how a way to kill her or a way
you
to...
You're saying her. Do you mean the Silent Tempest still?
Yeah.
It's a dude.
It's a dude? Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to call her. So, yeah, her. So
looks like an Asian knife city.
Yeah, I don't care. It's fine.
There's more than one transsexual magic.
I like it. Shu Yun sounds like a girl to me, so I'll just do that. So, yeah, so that, all it is like I play a whole bunch of ways to get around my opponent's creatures, ways to kill the creatures to make it where, like, I don't need it to be unblockable because I kill their shit, and ways to control their board through, once again, burn spells or just straight up control... remand and counterspell stuff.
What did you feel like it? What in the deck didn't work out as well as you thought it was going to? Anything really? You're like, man, I should take this out.
I don't know. Can you think of anything?
I think actually your list was pretty spot on. I mean, for well, I feel like so he has the protection from black, the knight, the 2/1, is it? And so
exalted.
And so I like that guy. I'm pretty sure you just put him in there because you know me and Crow like to play black cards.
You're a smart man.
But I feel like if there was like some sort of tournament, like he should be in the sideboard.
Fair enough. Absolutely. I 100% agree. I have two protection from black and red type shit, black or red or whatever else, and they're more aligned to what I'm playing against. The other one, though, is good just because it is a lifelink also.
And first strike.
So, I mean, really, there's a couple cards that I kind of, you know, manipulated because I knew who I was playing it against. But I could still add more sideboard stuff to really affect the game.
And you haven't really built a sideboard yet, right?
I haven't built a sideboard yet. But either way, I really just think it is like you bring out your creature, you protect him with, like, Swift boots?
Yeah.
Swift fire boots or fucking some?
The boots.
The boots.
Makes what? Hexproof and haste?
Yeah, hexproof and haste. So you get that on there. You hexproof and haste it. You play a single mana blue spell that makes it unblockable that you're able to cast again from your graveyard one more turn. Has, like, rebound or whatever the fuck it's called. And
you have two, right? One's rebound and one's flashback.
Exactly. So there you go. So I have those kind of things. And then, really, if I was able to get that going, I mean, like, I would be able to double strike for 8 and 8. That you can't take care of is fantastic, and then they have to kill the creature. Well, then they waste their turn killing the creature, and then I just go ahead and get another creature and just double strike it for 4 or 6 or whatever, and then there's just a lot of interaction where you just get in damage. You know, you just get in damage. Simple as that.
So the color protection isn't, like, core to it? Is not even sideboard? It was just...
I'm not really yet protecting my stuff. I'm just bringing out stuff and going 3 creatures wide and giving one of them exalted, which exalted is... Where if one creature attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And if there's multiple exalted things on the board, then it gets +1/+1 for each of those. So I play like one exalted land and one exalted creature, and that's a cool thing to have on double strike. Exalted and double strike go like hand in hand.
Yeah.
And same thing with like pump spells that give like +3/+0, then that's a good thing to do. You cast +3/+0 on your creature with prowess. So it goes from a 3-2 to a 4-3. Then it gets plus 3 plus 0, so it's a 7-4. And then it gets double strikes, so that's 14 damage. And all that required was 2 mana to trigger the double strike from Shu Yun and 1 mana for the plus 3 plus 0.
Yeah.
And it also gives the creature haste. So if you really had the combo going, you can bring out Shu Yun, play the 1 mana and the 2 mana, and you get in for 14 damage right on the spot with like no – they had no idea it was coming. It just haste, double strike, the end, you know. So that's really what the deck was, and there's not much else really to say. I mean, it just had – I tried to get like a wide range of things that I can just like deal with problems coming at me. The thing is that Knife – we'll talk about his because his has enchantments that I just do not have – or I mean I do not hate for, and those enchantments will win the game if they are brought out and not dealt with. So
yeah, and the protection from black was just kind of a meta game choice for our little play group. But I mean that does.
There's two of those cards.
I feel like black is really strong in Minimander.
Yeah.
So but yeah, my deck was the rat discard deck with Athreos as my Minimander, and. I feel like I had the right theme going, like I'm going in the right direction. I didn't put enough removal in the deck, so I didn't have a lot of ways to deal with things. So I did have a sideboard, so I ended up just bringing in the sideboard and making that part of the actual deck instead of just citing it in every game. This was more just me and Hot Sauce were playing just to kind of feel out the decks, like what is working, what isn't working. But yeah, I definitely needed more more kill spells. But he is right. I have a lot of like 1 mana and 2 mana enchants, and so if I can get those out, whenever he discards a card, he'll lose life.
If I have no cards in hand, I lose life. If I have less than 2 cards in hand, I lose life. Like,
yeah.
It's just if he has the enchantments out and I have no cards in hand, I'm a top decking, which is what his deck wants to do. I just lose life all fucking day. The problem is, he only has like 4 of those enchantments or whatever in his 50-card deck. If he doesn't draw them, his deck doesn't work the way he wants to.
Right.
That's
so,
the problem.
Although I had like multiple angles of attack where I could pump up my rats or
what
do this and that.
A demonic tutor?
All the low mana costing tutors are banned. I mean,
in Tyrant Leaders?
Yeah.
Do I have a ban list?
Yeah, there's
like
a ban
Soul
list.
Ring, which is like the 1 mana artifact that taps two colorless.
I got like 2 cards coming in that I got surprises for you guys. And I'm going to tell you, they're silver bordered.
So, you might want to check before we all start ordering cards. I had to like double check.
They're like a couple dollars. I'm like, you know what? I don't give a shit. I'm playing this because this is going to be awesome.
Fair enough.
Like, fuck you guys.
So,
ban list, bitch.
So I. I like the deck. I still like it. Definitely needs to be tuned.
This
maybe
is Minimander,
some...
not Tiny Leaders, fuckers.
So maybe some... Well, we have a bigger ban list.
Yeah. So and Crow from playing the game.
That's number one. So I think I need to find some cards that like tutor up enchantments. So like maybe like Heliod's Pilgrim. I think you can search for an enchantment. And I'm sure there's other ways to do it. Because
you need to get them. The deck works when you get the enchantments out. So we had the record was – what was the record tonight?
It was like I won 1, you won 10. Maybe not 10, but still.
Like 6 or 7 or something like that.
Is it because it's enchantment-based it's susceptible to the control decks?
No, it's just that I have a lot of stuff going on besides the enchantments, and all that stuff going on doesn't really – work without the enchantments. I mean,
and it's singleton. Tiny is my Minimander is singleton. So, out of 50 cards, he's got to draw those 4.
But it, like you know, so if I discard all of his cards, he still has his commander, which can do fucking a shitload of damage. It can double strike and get through, unblockable. And so he's still doing fine, whereas I have, like, these little tiny rats that aren't fucking doing anything. Maybe if I had my enchantments on the board, he would be getting pinged for, like, 8 every upkeep, you know?
Yeah, the clock would be super fast, and I'd be like, oh, I'm fucked. But it's just super hard to get all those enchantments. Even if you do have tutors or whatever, you're still not bringing out 3 enchantments. You're bringing out 1 enchantment, and hopefully you drew one also. So, like, a 2 max per game is what it really feels like. And 2... is it won you that 1 game for sure.
Oh yeah.
But like it's still hard to win when you only have two of the four. If you had all four somehow, or I don't even know how it would work, but you just would fucking win. Like, there's no chance at all I would have. But this doesn't work that way, you know?
Here's a sideboard card against Knife, then. There's that card in Fury 4, just double blue and X, and it says each player draws X cards.
Yeah, boom. So
you give him all kinds of stuff, but you're not getting hit with those fucking discard things at that
no
point.
No shit, huh?
The thing damage.
So I was looking at some more cards just because this format's really piqued my interest, and you know, I realized a lot of my favorite mill cards from last standard season were three converted mana cost or less. So I started looking around the old Magics. And I realized there's a lot of really good mill cards for three converted mana cost or less. So
that's the next step.
That's the next deck I'm going to build.
I just saw another card today. It's one blue target player to top five cards of the library goes in the graveyard.
Yep. Right. And so, I think the card is called Glimpse the Unthinkable. It's for blue and a black, I believe. And it's target player mills 10. And that card is like $20. To purchase, because it is like mill is like a casual fucking hit. Like, casual people love to play mill, and so there's just always constant demand for that card. So I think I'm just gonna like trying to like buy like bite a damage buy a damaged version or fucking something like that.
That's the next step, though.
Yeah, I might just buy a pristine version. So, but
that one from Unhinged, like where you rip it up, someone like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So, talking about. I'd say that Minimander, like Commander's sick, but you need like four people. And it's like very casual, and you just like it's like whoever wins like didn't even really win. It's just like you just play for fun. Minimander actually has some skill based in it, and it also is one on one, which is way easier to play than getting four people together. So like Minimander, you can just play it like whenever. So we all here at the cast highly recommend playing it.
Yes, indeed, and we are going to be recording some Minimander versus videos along with our standard versus videos that are coming out.
Way too many Minimander videos because we're gonna. Take control of the market.
Yeah, we're going to monopolize the market on Minimander versus videos.
Exactly.
Which is a very small market, but we're going to be at the top of that goddamn market.
Yeah, I want to shift gears. I want to start this next one with Mr. Peppermint Swirl to the stage. So right now is the time in the cast where it is not safe for work. Put on your headphones, people. Do not allow anyone to hear this, and if you don't like bad humor and humor and poor taste, please turn off your fucking stream or whatever, you know, turn off iTunes right now. Like, this is going to be goddamn dirty, okay?
Yeah.
If you like dirty, fine, but if you don't, like, you need to get the hell out of here, man.
If you want to listen to fucking some more magic, go listen to Limited Resources.
Yeah, just stop right here.
We're not talking about any more magic.
This is going to be the time where we spill some jokes on you.
The joke.
We're going to get you some chuckles. Some dirty, dirty chuckles. Well, some of them are so dirty, some of them are real fucking bad. So, you know, you want to learn some new jokes, tell your friends, and take credit for them. Be like, oh, this is my joke. Because they don't listen to the cast. That means that I get to own this joke.
Yeah.
You know what? So be it. We're going to give you the opportunity. So, Peppermint Swirl, what do you think?
All right, I'll start it off.
Here we go, baby. I'm going to sit back in my easy chair. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time.
I got you. Okay. So there's this little boy. We'll call him Timmy. Timmy's hanging out in his house. And, you know, he's probably playing Magic or something. That's beside the point.
We do.
Excitement. He's building decks. But young kid, he walks by his mom's room and he hears some huffing and puffing. And he's like, oh, what is that? And he listens to the door real close and he hears his mom go, oh, I need a man. She's laying on her back and rubbing herself. And he sees it through the crack in the door. And he's like, whatever. He brushes it off and he goes back to his room. Well, the next day, he walks by his mom's room again, and he hears some commotion going on in there, and he peeks through the door, and he sees a man on top of his mom just going to town. He doesn't know this guy. It could be any guy. He's just going to town on her, and he's like, okay. So I'm going to think about this for a little while. So the next day, his mom's walking through the house, walks by little Timmy's door, and she hears a commotion. She peeks through the crack in the door and she sees Timmy laying on his back and he's rubbing himself. He's going to town. He's like, oh, I need a bike.
That is a very cute joke. I really like that.
No, I love that though, dude. Timmy's gonna get his witch because he's rubbing his junk just like his mommy.
That's one of the, like, I can only memorize like three jokes at a time. I can only have like three slots in my head for jokes, and that's one of them. I really enjoy that one.
I love that one. It's cute.
Oh God!
All right, let's take it a step dirtier. Why don't we head this over to hot sauce?
All right, what do you got for us, Sus?
First of all, so guy walks into a bar. Hey, classic joke. Hey, the punchline. Bam, ba-doom, ba-bam. Anyways, guy walks into a bar. Right, sees the bartender. Sees behind the bartender a jar just like full fucking money, like just a grand, whatever. I don't know, just full of cash. And a guy orders a drink, and then, you know, he's sitting there for a while, and he's like, man, I'm fucking curious, what the hell is that? You know, what's going on there? Hey, man, what's up with that jar of cash right there? He goes, oh, yeah, you like that? So what it really is like you pay into it or whatever, and you get a series of challenges, and if you pass it, you know, you get the whole pot. Nobody's got it so far, so have at it. And the guy's – he's like, how much is it? That's $50. $50 buy-in. You pass the three challenges I'm going to give you, then you get it, you know, all of it's yours. He's like, all right, sweet, sweet. And he's like, all right, cool. And he's hanging out for a little bit, thinking about it, and, you know, a couple drinks later, he's like, you know what, fuck this. Let's do it. So he pays up $50, and he's like, I want to hear, man, what's the challenges? He's like, all right, man. First thing you do, guy at the end of the bar, he sees a guy, you know, the guy's like fucking Samoan, gigantic, you know, tough as shit. Sees him and goes, you gotta punch that, you gotta knock the guy out one blow. Go up to him, fucking knock his ass out. That's it. Second thing, there's a door to your right. Inside of there is a canine, fucking a dog that has a decaying tooth, and it needs to get removed. And the dog is like just vicious, wild dog. And you got to go in there, you know, struggle with the dog a little bit, get that tooth out, come back out with the tooth. A second pet, second task or whatever. Third one, door to the left. Old lady, 85 years old, whatever, never had an orgasm in her whole life. So you got to go ahead and go in there, you know, get some time in, give that lady an orgasm. You know, she comes out and confirms it. Boom, money's yours. Get all three done tonight. Guy's like, that sounds like I can't do that, but you know what? Drunk power, man. Just give me another shot. You know, we'll do it. So first thing, goes up to the guy, you know, squares up. Fucking takes a shot, all I can do, knocks the guy out one blow. Unbelievable. You know, the guy's just like passed out on the ground. This dude's super pumped up, like just jazzed, like I got the next one now, you know, this is it. Bartender's like, you know, that's fucking impressive. You got the guy, you know, that's pretty good. So he goes in the door and everything like that, and bartender's sitting there, you know, waiting, and he hears the struggle. You know, he hears the dog just like going crazy, and you know, the fight is going on for fucking 15 minutes with this guy doing the business, you know, trying to get that shit out, you know. And he's like, god damn, man, you know, this is ever gonna happen? This dog's going crazy. And you know, finally the guy comes out, you know, and he's just like, his clothes are like shredded and all this stuff, and he's like, all right, man, it took fucking 25 minutes, but that dog came all over the place. Now, where's that grandma's sore tooth, man?
Oh, I've heard that one before.
Oh, man.
All right. Moving on.
All right. This is my go-to joke. This is my bread and butter. This is the
one. By the way, end the joke, I'm going to cry. For some reason,
no.
I'm going to laugh so fucking hard.
No,
I'm gonna
it's
cry.
Not that one.
Oh, no. Next time.
The next one. But this one is the like first joke I was like, I'm going to memorize this joke. It's not that long, but I am going to memorize it. My uncle told me this joke. My uncle, he has like, he's just every day just a new fucking crude ass joke. So, all right. So a guy walks into a bar. He goes right up to the bartender. He says, I need 10 shots of tequila right now. Bartender goes, all right, you know, whatever. And pours out 10 individual shots, one after the other. The guy takes it. Boom, boom, boom. All 10 in a row. Just no time. The bartender looks at him like, geez, what's going on? What's the special occasion? The guy goes, oh, I just had my first blowjob. Bartender goes, oh, well, in that case, here's an extra shot on the house. The guy goes, if those first 10 shots didn't get that taste out of my mouth, I don't know what will. Bing, bang, boom, easy.
Easy.
I got a bartender. I got another bartender joke.
Crow, what you got?
Dude, I ain't ready for this right now.
All right, you know what? Next time. Right. No problem.
Yeah. All right. I wasn't prepped for the joke cast tonight.
We'll have our own little joke segment where we bestow jokes upon you.
Yeah, joke every cast. That's what you should be.
I don't have that many, though, so we're not doing that.
All right, so here's my bartender joke. So guy walks into a bar. There's a whole crowd of people standing around the bartender. And guy walks in. He's like, hey, what's the commotion, man? And the guy's like, one of the guys standing at the bar is like, man, this bartender's a genius. He just came up with the coolest thing. Ask him what's up. And the bartender's like, okay, so here's the deal. I grew these apples, right? And I grew them in a whole bunch of flavors, and they taste like two different things. Tell me what you want. Drinks, name them. The guy's like, all right. How about a Jack and Coke? So the bartender goes rummaging through, and he comes up with an apple. Big, nice-looking apple, nice and shiny, right? The guy takes a bite, and he's like, oh, wow, that tastes like Coke. He's like, but what about the Jack? He's like, well, turn the apple around and taste the other side. So he takes a bite of the apple. He's like, wow, that's Jack Daniels, man. That's cool. What else you got? He's like, hey, man, you name it. I came up with it. And he's like, he's thinking. He's like, yeah, I don't want to drink. He's like, how about this? Do you have an apple that tastes like pussy? So the bartender's like, you know what? I do. So he goes down, and he's rummaging through, and he comes up with another apple. It's another good-looking apple. And the guy takes a big bite, you know, he's just ready for a mouthful of pussy. Takes a bite of this apple. Takes a bite of this apple, and he gets just a terrible look on his face. And he looks at the bartender, and he's like, oh, man, this apple tastes like shit. And the bartender's like, turn it around.
Yeah. That's the best
part is you having your girlfriend walk by.
Yeah. Your girlfriend walks by.
I want
by
a mouthful of pussy.
She's just shaking her head. You boys, do what you want, whatever. That's the best. I think we gotta go back to yours because mine's a little too dirty to.
Yeah, I think yours is the showstopper, the ender of all jokes, but this joke is becoming my new favorite joke.
It's the Adult Swim of all jokes, by the way.
It is the Tim and Eric of all jokes.
This one's great.
So a guy walks into a bar.
Very good, very good.
He goes up to the bartender, orders a drink, and he looks over at the end of the bar, and there's this guy with this big orange head. Just huge, giant, bright orange head. And he's like
the Syracuse College mascot.
Yeah,
giant
exactly.
Orange head.
Just you can't miss it, you know? So
you can't miss
that big ass orange head. So he looks back at the bartender, he's like, what the fuck is up with that guy's head? And the bartender goes, well, you know, maybe if you buy him a drink, he'll tell you the story. And so he goes, all right, well, let me, you know, get another beer. And so he takes the beer down to the guy, and he's like, hey, you know, how's it going? And the guy goes, let me guess. You want to hear about the head, right? And so he hands him the beer, and he's like, yeah, of course I want to hear about your big fucking head. So the guy starts telling him the story. And he goes, you know, well, one day I was walking down the beach, and I saw this little glimmer in the sand, and you know, I went digging, and turned out it was a lamp, you know, like the one in the movies, like the genies come out of. And he's like, you know, I don't really think anything's going to happen, but just in case, let me just rub it, you know, and then I'll fucking toss it back and keep walking. No one's around. No one will see me be dumb like this. So he rubs it. Fucking lo and behold, motherfucking genie comes out of the goddamn lamp. Guy nearly shits his pants. Genie goes, you know, I will grant you three wishes, whatever you want. You know, no limitations, no ifs, ands, or buts, just three wishes. So the guy's thinking, all right, you know, this is probably bullshit. You know, I'm dreaming or something. This isn't real. But, you know, if this is real, let me, how about I have, you know, like the hottest wife in the world and she will just do whatever I want. My beck and call, just, you know, be my sexual slave and just faithful and amazing body, beautiful. Genie goes, all right. You know, he does his little thing and he goes, look out to the waves. And out of the waves comes walking this just gorgeous Jessica Alba looking woman, comes up to him, just starts kissing him and says, you know, I'm here for whatever you need me for. The guy goes, oh shit, well this is for real. This is real wishes. All right. So the second one, I want an unlimited amount of money. Genie goes, all right. The guy's just standing there. Well, where is it? Check your pockets. He starts pulling out all these fucking, like, all these dollar bills, y'all, and all this gold and silver. And, like, you know, whenever you want it, just reach in your pocket and it'll be there for you, you know, unlimited amount. So he goes, well, shit, all right. Well, you know, and he's thinking real hard on the last one. And at this point in the story, he turns to the guy at the bar and says, you know, this is, you know, I think this is where it went all downhill for me. This is where I made my mistake, you know. My third wish was, I wished for a big orange head.
This is where I really jumped the ball.
I really just messed it up, man. I don't know what happened. I was drunk with a new wife. I didn't know what I was doing.
This is where I dropped the ball, man.
It's a mess.
The dumbest joke that's ever come out of anybody ever.
And please, if you repeat this joke, just try and draw it out. Yeah. Put in so and many really, details.
The best part is just like, swear I dropped the ball, man. This is where I made that fatal mistake.
I really went wrong here.
Yeah. All right. So, here we go. Last thing's the dirtiest thing. So, if you don't want to hear a dirty joke, just turn, like I said, turn us off. Because this is not good. So, so this couple, right?
Oh, fuck.
Perfect couple. People in, you know, late 20s, beautiful couple, man and woman. Woman's pregnant, going to the hospital. You know, guys rushing to the hospital. They get the off, you know, doctor's, whatever, the
going to labor.
Fucking labor room, bitch, whatever the fuck it's called. Anyways, the woman's on her back, you know, giving birth to the baby, and the guys, you know, the husband's right there holding her hand, and doctors, you know, everything medically is completely correct, and she's like, you know, just go ahead and just push, and she's screaming, you know, pushing the baby out, the guy's holding her hand, you know, you're doing so great, honey, you're doing so great, and then, you know, the baby's coming out, and they're giving it, she's giving it her all, and finally the doctor's just, give me one more push, and she screams, and the baby comes out, and the guy pulls it out, the doctor pulls the baby out and goes, oh my God, it's so beautiful, you know, congratulations. And the couple just looks at each other all warm and heartfelt, so excited to have a newborn in the world. And doctor gets the child and drops it on the ground, and then he kicks the baby across the room. God. Just kicks the baby. And the couple is screaming bloody murder. What the fuck? What are you doing? Doctor runs over to the baby again, picks the baby up, kicks it again across the room. Now they are up in arms. They have no idea what the hell's happening, dream or not. Like, no idea. Guy stops, you know, the husband or whatever. What the fuck are you doing to our child? Doctor goes, dude, just relax. Your baby was already dead.
No! And that's been it for episode 26 of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
On to us.
Peppermint Swirl.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
That was horrible.
Oh my god,
I hadn't heard that.
All right, let me see if I can fire this one off properly. I've had some trouble telling in the past. And no, it's not the fucking the Aristocrats joke, because everybody knows that one.
Everybody has a movie, dude. Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't think I know.
Yeah, you don't know the.
Watch the movie.
Watch the movie.
It's an hour and a half long of the same joke.
I don't have the time to fucking tell that joke. I'll just drag it on. So,
As for big orange. I just, the thing is,
there's a blooper reel right there.
The joke requires people that you will find out that are your best friends. Yeah. If they don't laugh at it, you're like, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I did though. You were an idiot.
Yeah. Holy shit, that was funny right now. I kind of wish the first time we had it, that was our first show. Because, holy shit, that was retarded. No, I would have shit my pants, actually. Yeah, like, oh my god. It would have been like 10 minutes of straight laughter recorded. Like, fuck.
Oh my god. Okay, so there's these four nuns. You know, they're going on a trip to, you know, a pilgrimage to, you know, do some good work out in the inner cities, you know.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's a horrible accident on the freeway, a big pileup, and unfortunately, everyone on the bus, you know, died.
Didn't make it.
So... I think you might have told this one also. So they all find themselves at the pearly gates, you know? And they're like, hey, you know, good thing we were good people our whole lives and we were nuns and devoted ourselves to God because this shit's real. And so they didn't say shit.
That's part of the joke. Yeah. If it's not, it should be. That's a good one to start off.
And that's the joke, though. And then Jesus came out and he had big orange hands.
Okay, that's your blooper. Ha 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 ha!